It's time for Building the Game.
Building the Game
with Jason and Friends from Tabletop Game Design.
The fun
never ends. It's at the end of the episode. That's
when it technically ends.
Hello and welcome to Building the Game, a documentary podcast. Today is Monday, March 11th, and you're listening to episode 615. As always, I am your host, Jason. Here today, joined by excellent, awesome co-host, Julio Nasario. Hello.
Hey, Jason. How's it going, man?
Good. It's been a while, so I felt like I had to give you a real big announcement, you know.
Right? I mean, we haven't spoken, I guess we haven't been on the, and spoken much since Philly.
The time.
And that was a podcast that was, I don't know, 15 people. So
yeah. No, it, we were just talking about that. Time goes so quickly, like in episodes, I feel like, to where, you know, like when I'm typing, like, you know, 6:15 to create the episode for today for us to record on Zencastr, I'm like, 6:15, like, I remember when 600, like, how are we already 15 episodes, 15 weeks past that? Like, it feels like a distant memory at this point. It's crazy.
It's like when you're a kid, you feel like minutes run so long, and as you get older, it's like hours and days, and then at this point, you are in the weeks period. Like,
we are, right? I am. Yes, I am older. So, but you so have kids. That does make it go quickly. So.
Yeah. Well, I've actually, funny enough, I've been in training. I've been in Virginia, Lexington, Virginia, for some aquatic organism passage training on the engineering side. So I guess I don't really, I haven't really spoken about this, or maybe I have, but I did get a promotion last year at my job.
Yep, you mentioned it briefly, but not a lot about what that meant.
Well, I'm the transportation engineer, program manager for the National Forest in North Carolina.
Okay.
What does that mean?
Fancy.
That means that, yeah, I'm in charge of all the natural forest roads in the state, which is about 2,600 miles of road.
So if I go to North Carolina and drive on a road and it's not good, and it's as long as it's in a national park, I can say national forest.
National forest, very different. Yeah. National park is different.
Yeah, no, I know. I get those two confused because I don't work in the business, but yes. I am a camper, so yeah, I do know there's a difference, and that I should know the difference.
And you know who to call, and it's not the Ghostbusters.
You're gonna get right out there yourself and fix it.
Yeah, so I've been for this whole week. I've been in training, so and I actually don't have my family with me. I actually bring my family with. So while it is sad, and I see them every day, I have been sleeping a little bit more than I normally do.
Don't let your wife know that. She's probably like, come on. Like, cause she's probably been losing sleep.
Yes. And I'm going to be making up for it for sure. But I'm definitely glad that she's not listening to the podcast. She won't listen to it either.
My wife is actually going to be in Mexico for a week. This releases for work. And I was like, listen, like, enjoy it. Like, I know it's work and you got to do it, but like, at least, like, be like, you get a break like from the kids for a bit. But it doesn't feel like it, I'm sure, cause you're at work, but I was like, you know, like, sleep all night and be happy about that. Like, she's like, unfortunately, she's like, I don't get like a ton of time in my room. Right. Cause they keep them busy all the time doing stuff. But like, I was like,
and to be honest, since, having them, I really look forward to spending time with them, even because Jaceli, she's a professional wedding photographer. Mm-hmm. She, especially during the fall, is crazy. So I had to take time off as well to, you know, be with the kids and take care of them. And I really look forward to those times. I really do. Even though it's tiring and everything, it's just time that you can't really get back. And that's, you know, kind of corny, but it's true.
It's true. No. And I always feel like when one parent's gone, then like you have permission to like do extra fun stuff. Like when either parent is gone, cause you're like, you know, cause the kids are bummed. Right. You know, so like you got to do extra good stuff to to make it better. And I used to be bad about that. Like, my wife is awesome. Like, if I'm at a convention or something, about like, hey, the kids and I are going to go do this, this, and this. And I've never been the best of that. I've gotten better to be like, let's go do the stuff, you know?
You know what that means, right?
What's that?
You're a game designer and you're not the fun parent.
No, no. I for sure am
fun. No, you are not.
I'm just like, you guys want to play some video games and some games fun? I'm that fun guy. But it's something like I'm going to take you to this awesome place and we're going to do this awesome stuff. And I was not always comfortable being that person, but the kids are a little older now and it works a little better.
So I was always, you know, I came up on this podcast being the one that's not fan of tangents. So let's talk game design. What you've been up to?
Well, I got, I'm not going to grab it because it's got other boxes stacked on top of it, but I got my copies of Tir na n'Og. I got a text message from Mark from Grand Gamers Guild, and he said, hey, what are you doing Monday morning at 5 a.m.? I thought, well, I mean, probably sleeping, but I just said, what's up? He's like, I'm going to be driving past your house or near your house. He's like, can I drop off your copies of Tir na n'Og? And it's funny because all of my friends are getting their Kickstarter copies and mine hasn't come yet, which is fine. I mean, it's just the way, you know, they ship the way they ship. Yeah. Like, no complaints. But I got my copies from Mark. And so it was really exciting to get that. And the game just looks beautiful. Like, it's getting good ratings on BGG, which isn't, it's not something that I think a lot about.
Not representative, yeah.
Yeah, but still, it's fun to see your game doing well and climbing. And so anyways, like I, you know, they say don't read the comments, but like if you can handle, like if you can just be object, like be like, it's fine, right? You know, like I've never been someone who's agreed with reviewers on like movies or things like that. So a lot of times I just don't really hold stock in people's opinions about that kind of stuff. I mean, that said, like, if you have a new game out, right, and then people are like, this game sucks, like, that's not what you want to hear. So it's nice, like, it's nice when people go out of their way to say positive things, because I feel like, especially on the internet, people generally go out of their way to say negative things. So when people are actually going out of their way to say positive things, that's kind of nice, right? It's nice to see that, and it feels good.
I just think about all the games that I enjoy and have played, and I'm not one to leave reviews, but you know, I don't go negative at reviewing either.
Right.
But I think if I'm going to take a stand, I should do that one, you know, just
leave comments. I had said to my wife, there are some reviewers that I've seen who basically only review the stuff that they are excited about. Right. And I think that's super cool because it's like, you know, I had heard one say, like, I get so many opportunities to talk about games because everybody wants them to talk about their games. So they're like, I just pick the ones I like, because I'll just talk about good ones that I like and I just won't talk about the other ones. And that's, you know, an easy way to do that. And I'm like, that's really cool. You know, there's this person I've seen on BGG review games where they reviewed some of mine, but also some other ones. I was reading their reviews and they're like, my reviews tend to be negative because like I review as I go. And I was just like, that's just silly. Like, why would you do that? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I tend to have negative reviews because, and I thought, why bother sharing that with that?
And I think it also, as a content reviewer, it definitely affects the audience that you bring. And of course, if your content is mainly bad games, for lack of a better term, then it's not really bringing a lot of audience to it. And that's why sometimes you see a lot of reviewers reviewing positively on all the games, and they get flagged for, oh, you're always positive. Well, this game sucks because of this and this and this.
So right, right.
There's that's no way point, to win either way. So it's like, but anyway, on our side, it definitely helps to see a positive review.
It does. It does. It feels nice.
Well, so on my side, since we haven't spoken since Philly, I mean, I never really mentioned, but I did get my copies of Freehand from Indie Boards and Cards, so that's been
nice.
Cool.
Nice.
And I also got my copies of Champion Land Wrestling.
Yeah, yeah.
from Button Shy Games. Mm-hmm. So at this point, I have my Champion Land Track and Field and Champion Land Wrestling. And the next one, and you'll hear it here first, is Champion Land Volleyball.
Nice.
Yeah, and I actually met with Jason on at PAX to talk mm-hmm. about the next one in the series. So we'll see what happens there. Nothing yet, but again, that has been fun to see people talk positively about it, especially because it's my kind of essentially is my first a series of games, right?
Right.
Even though it's a 18-card game, but it's cool. Again, I had the idea, I delivered on it, and everybody is seeing it. And we're still, you know, people don't talk about this because it's normally like politics and presidential and stuff. But 2024 is also the Olympic season, so
it is. I think I recall this now because you told me this when they yep. first were coming out. Otherwise, no, I would have no idea. So
right, but then when the Olympics are happening, people suddenly take an interest in sports. So, funny enough, that both of those have sold out at this point. So that's been cool.
So will they? Do you think they'll reprint them?
I mean, I don't know. I mean, right. At this point, Bunshire releases like 3 games a month. So they, you know,
they really do.
So it's and they just did a Kickstarter as well for some reprinting stuff. So maybe it's if the game sold out, maybe it's something worth considering, especially mm-hmm. because I have already a couple more on the docket, as he knows. So
mm-hmm.
we'll see. I'll definitely give an update on that. But that's been, of course, that's been nice. And I finally, because after the pandemic, I was doing a lot of working from home. I finally got all copies of all my games and put them in my office at work. So that they're like a line of games, and that's pretty cool.
Nice. So everybody can see what you've been up to.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, people, at this point, they know me as the game designer. So
that's... Right. Very cool.
So you ready for a topic?
I was just going to say, I real quick about Champion Land. I love that you've found this cool like series to make, and that it's so open-ended that you can just, you know, like, oh, I have another one, you know, hey, we need another one. Like, I think that's super cool. Like, I think that is a really cool, you know, space to be able to work in. So yeah, I'm excited for you with that. I think that's fun.
Yeah, and again, and it's like the kind of games that really you will not hear a lot about because they're just super simple. You know, 5 to 10 minute games, and what I hear a lot about is, oh, I can play this with anybody. I can play this with my 3-year-old or 4-year-old, mm-hmm. with my significant other that doesn't play games, and we play, you know, 6 games in one sitting kind of thing. That's mm-hmm. really cool to hear. Especially because, you know, when I started, I was doing a lot of bigger games and more complex physically and all that. And when I was, you know, doing this 18 card games, I just wanted it to be unique in its own way. And I think I achieved that. So that's cool.
That's awesome. Yeah, that's awesome. Okay, now I'm ready for the topic. Let's do it.
So this is a very special one, folks.
A very special episode.
Yeah, very special episode. So when we were talking about trying to get a topic, and I was like, I think I got the perfect title for this one is 2 Steps Forward, 1 Step Back. And the reason for this is, and I've already spoken with Jason about this just before we started recording.
5 minutes ago.
That I have decided to take a step back from designing mm-hmm. games. And you know, it is something that is not a sad moment. I am not completely stepping away from game design. I'm just kind of at this point taking more of a support role, and just working on things that I already got going on. And that's kind of how I've been doing the last couple months. But in the recent events, it's kind of like been. When I started designing, I just focused on the fun, and then the whole business side came of it. And that's been, you know, stressful in its own sense and all of that. But at the same time, the hustle, while I enjoyed it, right now, because of the changes that I've got going on in my family, you know, I've, you know, with the kids and all that, it's just not what my priority is right now. So right now, what I'm, like I was talking with Jason about is like, hey, our game design group in Asheville has never been better. We get like 10 to 20 people every time we meet, and I almost never get to play test my own stuff, even though I always bring my bag of games with. I actually play tested one of my older games from pre-pandemic. I had not played that.
Wow.
And I always, honestly, I didn't remember how to play it, so it was a kind of a mess to try to get it to play. But it actually played really well, so I do have changes to try that. But see, I mean, I'm still kind of wanting to do that. But because I'm playtesting so many of others' games and giving feedback on that front, and because I really don't have a lot of time, I just don't want to push it. You know, I just don't want to be pushed to get whatever little time I have to design games, because that's, you know, I don't think I'll thrive, and I haven't been thriving in that kind of situation, you know. But
yeah,
And it's not, I'm not, you know, stepping away from the podcast either, because I'm still, I still have at least three games coming out in the near future. So there's still things to talk about, still play testing and designing and playing, obviously, games. So like when we talked about, hey, whenever we can chat, we'll chat. So the, you won't see the last of me just yet.
Well, I'm certainly glad to hear that. And it was certainly a pretty big surprise to me when you said that. You actually were like, I have a big announcement thing I want to talk about. And so I was like, what huge thing is happening with games? And then you were like stepping away. And I was like, oh, that did not go in the direction I expected it to go in. I really thought it was going to go in the opposite direction of that. But, you know, I mean, I will always support you and whatever it is you're doing. And, you know. But so like when, how, I guess, how long have you really been considering this idea? Like the last time I saw you, you were thinking about it and you didn't say anything. Is that, no, I'm just kidding. But no, like,
no,
I
mean, how, honestly, it's been in the last, like the last month, because I've recently got into another less time consuming, thing. And we can talk about that later. But I just kind of been very focused on learning more about that industry itself. So, and then I was just being active on the game design group and testing and giving feedback and all of that. But I wasn't really, really thinking about design as I used to, like, hey, I got to design this game because I know that I just don't have the time. And the reason for that is, and here's, as we talked about earlier about kids and all that, I have a full-time job, obviously. And whenever I get back home, I just spend my time with the kids. And it's my decision and I love it. And it's obviously something that, you know, they're young and all that. So I know as they get older, they don't want to spend as much time with their parents. But that is something that I'm just really enjoying right now. And I just want to focus on that, on the family. So I'm not really sad about it at all because of it, because I know where my priorities lie. And game design, well, it is a fun industry, and there's because in reality, and this is, again, one of those things that people say a lot, but it's really true, is that the things that I've really enjoyed is the relationships I made and the experiences I've had. You know, the whole side of the business and all that, that's, you know, it's exciting, but it's not, it wasn't the main purpose. It never was.
Right.
So again, I'm still doing some of that development on existing games that I've signed and all that good stuff, and maybe pitching something here and there. And, you know, I know people have reached out about asking to meet with them, and I've met with them and stuff like that. So if you really want to have a chat with me and just talk through something, hey, I want to help out as much as I can, because that's one thing I was telling you. Like, I never really focused on the mentoring role because I was always go, 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 go. and didn't have a lot of time for on that front. I'm always make sure to give time to others and when play testing and making sure to care for others as friendships. But I wasn't actively like, hey, let's go through this and stuff like that. So again, my time is still limited, but I want to help the community how best I can.
Right. Right. No, that's good. I mean, that's good to hear. And,
and one of the things that like comes to mind, right, is as y'all know me, I don't hold back when it comes to sharing information. You know, when it comes to contracts, when it comes about money, when it comes about what good experiences I've had, what bad experiences I had, which people don't talk about much, right? I'm always right, up to talk right. about that, right? So just reach out if you just have any questions about somebody, a certain publisher, I'll give you all the dirty details.
You and you are the one that got Eric Lane to come on and talk for like an hour and a half about bad stuff in the industry. So,
yeah, that was a good one. That was a good one.
That was a good one.
But as I said, we started with the step back part just to move forward with that bit of information. But let's talk about the two steps forward, right? What does that look mm-hmm. like? And I did want to share because you'll know how I like to share data and numbers on how that and how that looked like for me as a designer. So I was looking and just kind of taking stock on what I've done in the last, because I've been designing for almost 6 years now, and you and I met on my first Unpub and hit it off and make good friendship, and I've been a part of this podcast for 4 years at this point.
Yeah, which is crazy to me. Like when you said you've been designing for 6 years, I was like, I feel like I've been designing forever at that point. I'd been designing for quite a while when you started, so it's crazy to me.
Yeah, and in that time, I feel like I've accomplished a lot. And to talk about that. So I actually have a running list of games that I've designed into prototype form. And that list is 77 games.
Wow. Yeah.
In a little over 5.5 years, I designed 77 games. And that it's about 14 games a year.
Yeah. That's a lot.
It is. And I'm like, I don't even know how I could do that. But in reality, I did, because it was, I had just moved to the United States, right? I just had a lot of time on my hands, and I was in a position where I had a lot of flexibility and then disposable income, right? As a getting started with the convention scene. And it feels like starting out was a little easier to get into the industry. Seems like it's a little harder now. That's for sure.
Yeah. I mean, you definitely came in. I think you were coming in on the cusp of when things were really starting to blow up. Right. Mm-hmm. But I mean, you came out swinging, and like, so you, I think, you know, you were able to get stuff done pretty quickly, which was awesome. Right. But yeah, I think, you know, nowadays it does feel more difficult for people. It's just quantity of people.
It's not just new people, right? It's people that have been in the industry for a while as well.
Right, right. That's true.
And that's something that doesn't necessarily have to do with the quality of games or anything, but it also is, again, 2024, we're still talking about it, the COVID factor, you know, the pandemic definitely held up the pipeline of games coming out from publishers. You know, and they're really have a backed up pipeline, and they're like, yeah, if we sign this now, it'll come out in 2027.
I mean, I was talking to a mid-sized publisher, like not that, I mean, big, but they're not big, right? They're like middle of the road, right? Same thing, 2027 at the earliest, maybe 2028. And I'm just like, oh my gosh, like that's insane to me. You know, I get that for like some of the bigger companies, but like, for the, you know, the mid-sized ones, it's still an issue as well. It's crazy.
Yeah. And again, it just goes to show that a game that is excellent, that's great, can still come out to the top. That always will happen. Mm-hmm. But definitely it's definitely a different barrier to entry on that part. Now, because there are so many people that have different levels of experience, it is easier to get to a level of knowledge that you are comfortable doing the things that the designer should be doing. Now, mm-hmm. when I started, I definitely didn't follow the line. I tried to learn from other people's mistakes and try to different things that weren't tried, right? And I think I had a benefit from that. So in at the end of my first year of design, I signed 2 games. So in my total 5 and some years, I signed a total of 16 games, which again, wow. it's a number, right? And
it's a big number is what it is. I mean, 16 games, that's good. I mean, that is a lot in 6 years. So
yeah. And that is 20% of the 77. Right. So,
which is also a super solid number that, I mean, is. When I looked at, I stopped counting a long time ago, but the last time I stopped counting, I was at around 120 games that I had made and at least prototyped and play tested once. Right. And I mean, I've got 11 things signed and published or almost, you know, or still on its way out. Right. And so like, I mean, I feel like you came in, like the way you think about games was far beyond where I think a lot of people started thinking about games when we all started designing. Right. I just feel like you came in with an edge of like, I don't know, something just clicked for you. You just got it somehow. I think.
Yeah.
Because I saw like a lot of your early games and they did not look like early games. Like, you know, of most designers I've play tested their early games.
Well, I appreciate that, Jason. I really do. And it definitely was and I've said it before, the engineering background helped a lot.
I really think so. And you lean, like, I know engineers who design games who don't lean into that, but like you, especially in the beginning, you super leaned into that. I felt like with the way you were looking at things and people were like, what is this? And it was a good, what is this? Right.
Yeah. And it is interesting because the less tools I had, the more I went outside the norm. And as I got more experience and got more tools, again, I got my laser cutter, I got my 3D printer. It feels like I haven't taken advantage of that, or because again, I came out to a point where I had so many working things that I just I think I overextended myself.
I do think though there is something to that, right? Of like when you first came in, you said yourself you had played games, but like playing a ton of games was not the way you got into the industry, right? You know, some people play a bajillion games and then say, I get it, I can do this, and then they do it. And you came in and said, I've played some games, but I think I can do it differently, and you just did it. And I think coming in from that mentality, if you've got the right brain for it, because I think some of us try and come in that way and it just doesn't work because we don't, like, but you have that logical engineer brain, right? And I think that allowed you to break a lot of rules. And I would argue that the farther you get into your career in the industry, the more it probably is hard to break those rules, right? Like, it's almost like you know more and that's not good, which is crazy. Like, but
yeah, no, I completely agree. I always said that the amount of information I had about the industry and games was a double-edged sword, and it definitely was. But I definitely think that now because I know more, it kind of pushes my mind in different directions that maybe it shouldn't go. But in all honesty, one thing that was funny, especially because it happened today, was that I was like, what should I have for dinner? And I'm like, I haven't had sushi in a while. So I checked out a sushi place and ordered online. I went to go get it in the downtown area. I'm currently in Lexington, Virginia. Small mm-hmm. college town.
Mm-hmm. Known for its sushi.
Yeah. Probably not. It was okay. It was definitely overpriced. But funny enough, I parked at a place that was close to it, and then I started walking, and one of the first things I saw was a game store.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, and I went inside, and people were very friendly. There was at least 10 people in there, fairly, you know, medium size, I would say. And I just wanted to see what was around, because I haven't been to a game store in a while either. I know maybe a month, but that can be a while. And then I started seeing, I saw at least 10 games that I didn't have any idea what they were.
Right. That feels weird when that happens, right?
Right, right. And I'm like, oh, yeah, I feel like I'm definitely kind of shifting out a little bit in a sense on that knowledge factor, which, again, it is interesting. But I do think that because I'm still going to be active to some capacity, I'm still going to know some of it, but not all of it, which at some point, if I do decide to come back to it, maybe that's something that my thinking behind it may change or even push me in a different direction when it comes to design. Mm-hmm. And all of that has to do with, sorry, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I agree. I agree with that. So.
And again, a lot of that is, hey, right. If the kids, you know, once they turn into their, you know, tens and such, or that's obviously a little far, but, time is different. Then maybe that will be the case. It may be earlier than that, but at the same time, I'm not in any hurry. And it can be a little sad, but I'm very happy with that decision that I've taken, and in a very real way. You know, it's sad because I know I won't be in touch with the people I call my friends in the industry. But it will be the kind of thing that at one point I'll probably go to a convention in a different capacity, maybe with my kids, just to enjoy it.
And it's a fun one to do. Yeah.
Yeah. And I'll meet all these people and I'll be, hey, it's been a while and I'm glad to see you, kind of thing. So, again, at this point, it sounds like I'm going away. But again, I definitely making a change, and that has to come through. Right.
Yeah, no, but I think we all need to be open to that, right? You know, I mean, I think it's unhealthy to feel forced to stick with something beyond the time that it, you know, works for you. I mean, when I think about the podcast or game design and stuff, if it ever feels like it's not working for me with what I'm doing, I'll just stop. Like, you know, I mean, fortunately for me, that hasn't been the case. I feel like it fits better now than it used to. But we have to be open to that. You know, you can't, like you said, you know, you only get one shot at this time with your kids and your family and the way you want to spend it. And you got to do that when you can, right? that's important. Yeah.
That's completely true. And again, it is another learning experience and just trying to come across that, because the builders out there are in different stages in their lives. So if you're in that stage where you have the flexibility that you have to follow the game design and you're really enjoying it, go for it 110%. If you feel like you're getting that pressure again and you want to spend more time with the family and not feel pressured to be creative, that's okay. I mean, that's okay if you want to take a step back. Again, it doesn't have to be completely like I'm just going to stop completely. Just take a step back and do it at a different capacity. And it may feel bad. You may feel bad about it because you may have set yourself a goal 6 months, a year ago to do a certain thing and you're not achieving that goal, as we've talked about in the past. But that's okay. Again, those things can change. And at the same time, something better may come because of it. You may just readjust and come back stronger because of it.
Or maybe you will move on, right? And that's okay too.
Correct.
I mean, that's the thing, you know, I know that I've had to recognize for myself in the last, you know, year now here, I mean, not even a year, but since going back to school, that takes a lot of time. And like you, I can't remember if you talked about this yet on the show or not, but being tired of the hustle, right? And like having it not be as fun. You mentioned it to me ahead of time. And, you know, I feel the same way on some of that. And because I have less time because of the school stuff and I have a family as well, like it's been like, well, what can I focus on to where I feel like I'm actually getting something done and doing something right. And that is changing your goals up to say, I'm not going to keep working on games that I have to pitch. I'm going to focus on games that I can do, that I can put out, that I can see start to finish and feel like I've done it. It's done. It's good. It's out there, you know. That is like, that's a change I have to make. And that's a little out of my comfort zone of like, you know, what I thought I wanted to do. Right. But you've got to be willing to make those pivots. If you want to, you know, stay mentally healthy even. Right. You know, yeah. I mean, that's mm-hmm. a big portion of it. You know, I know you didn't mention that, but like, that's a big portion of it for all of us. So,
yeah. And that's definitely something that I want to get back into that health. Not just mindset, but physically. I mean, I want to have more time to do exercise and stuff like that. I used to do that a lot more. And because I have less time, it has taken a backseat, and it shouldn't.
That's a parent thing. No, man, it's true though. Like it is, you know, it's interesting when I see the Discord group that we have in the Tuesday night meetings, and we've had a bunch of new people join of late.
Nice.
And watching everyone do that, you know, everybody is, you know, some people are like actively doing things, you know, Zoe a lot of times is heading home or going somewhere, or there's a lot of people who are, you know, doing stuff with the family and they have us just on audio, or Mark, one of the new people who's joined, he's usually making dinner while he's chatting and stuff. And I love that we can all come there from these different places. Right. And make it fit the way that it fits for us. I think that's really important. And it's good to see that, right? It's not everyone is the same and everyone's doing the same thing and has the exact same goal. First of all, there's not space for that. Like if we all have the exact same goal, very few of us are going to succeed. Like it's just how it is, right? So it's great to see all these, this rainbow of things everyone wants to do with their stuff, you know?
Now going back to the, going into this game store,
Oh gosh. Yeah. Sorry. That like,
that's fine. We're having a conversation. Something really cool happened. I did two things. So I bought a game and one of the, and the game that I bought is a Haba game. Mm-hmm. I don't even remember my first orchard, I think it's called. And
it's that game slaps, as they say. That's one of the first games I taught my kids. It's amazing. It is amazing. It's so fun. So fun.
Well, there you go. I hadn't heard about it. And I just look at the back. Didn't even check Board Game Geek.
Oh, God. Said, don't look at Board Game Geek. It's probably got like a one. I mean, it's like it's a kid's game, right? You roll dice and you do stuff. We did have to house rule a couple things, but, you know.
Yeah. Well, and we may. But again, I thought of my kids. I'm like, I think it's time. You know, my oldest is 3 and my youngest is 1.5. So we're going to start getting into this. And again, you never know. I never really focus a lot on kids games, but mm-hmm. something may come out of that.
I'll say another recommendation for a Haba game. When you get a little further and they can like make patterns and stuff, but in a really simple way to where you can help them. Manza is one of the most fun games. Like I played that with my 10-year-old a couple days ago. Like he was like, "Hey, let's play Manza." And I was like, "All right." And it's just rolling dice and then use the dice to like they're just having a color on them and you basically just follow, it's like a Candyland style road but it's a little more intermixed, like it's a racetrack and you just move your car based on what colors you touch. And it's super fun. Like it's one of those games where I'm like, this is perfection for like a kid's game that adults also will enjoy playing and not be like, nice. So.
Okay. I have to add it to the list. Yeah. At this point I got to start a list on that. So
yes, you that, do.
That was the one first thing I did. The second one, after I picked up, this is, I'm not kidding here, making this up. After I picked up this game, I turned around and I saw Holy on the shelf. You know, it felt very kind of no coincidences kind of thing because it wasn't, the game wasn't even like on its side. It was like face first.
That's amazing.
And this game came out in 2020, right?
Yeah, yeah. It's not like it's a new game. It's a pretty game, though.
Yes, and that may be why it was like that. But it was my first game that I signed. And then I'm thinking about us meeting for the podcast, and I see that, and I just, it brings a smile to my face.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, it, so I had to share that because yeah, it just fantastic. Shows kind of where I'm going, what I'm focusing on, and where I've been. And it's been a long road, and it's been a fun road. Mm-hmm. And to finish up a couple of things, again, going back to the numbers side of things.
Mm-hmm.
I signed 16 games. Now that's great and all, but let's go to the negative side. I mean, out of those 16 games, there's plans to publish only 12 of them. So four of them either being dropped and given back and, or something else happened to it. So as of now, I have 9 published and 3 that are still oncoming. So it may be, and I end up with 11. Probably 11. I mean, I know there's one that's kind of, I don't even know when it's coming out, but publisher says it's coming, so whatever. so
sorry, still, it's funny. Publisher says it's coming.
Yeah. So, I know that feeling. Yeah, yeah. So that again goes back to a 15% publishing average, I guess, on the games. Which again, it's a good number. It again, 15 in 100 games, let's say, and that I'm very proud of that, and I'm very proud of the things I've accomplished in this industry, and the way how many people I have brought into the industry because of it. Again, Puerto Rico is not a big board game community; it doesn't have it, and I know I've just traveling there, every time I traveled there, I always brought many games to do play testing and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And even my game Borinquen, which is again still on that P500, hasn't reached 400 yet, and again it may never, but it is one of those things that I've done some cool things that could have a lasting benefit to one community or another. And that's yeah. Good to think about.
That is good to think about.
Yeah. Now, one other thing.
Yeah.
Let's talk about, and I spoke about this before, but the hustle, right?
Do the hustle.
Oh man, I have not kept track of how many emails I sent to publishers about games, and it's probably in over
7,000. Yeah. It feels like that.
Probably.
How many responses did you get out of 7,000 emails? At least 15.
At least. Maybe 20. At least. Well, I know. I mean, I signed 16 games, so at least 16. Yeah.
Somebody had asked him, like, what's the most common response you get from a publisher? And it took everything I had because it was like on Facebook. So not to post, like, none, like just no response. Like that's the most common response, zero response. Like that's, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and again, on I've talked about the expenses part, how much money goes into this industry. At this point, I tried opening my spreadsheet, but it seems like it's not working for me. But from memory, I know that on that side, in this 5.5 years, I at least spent $30,000 mm-hmm. between everything, and then how much I've gained from my royalties, advances, and just development payments. That I think it was about $70,000.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So hey, you netted. I'm not that good 40, with math.
40.
No, sorry. I was trying to do it by year.
40 70, by year. I mean, that's 8,000.
Six and a half. So, yeah, 7,000, 8,000. Yeah, somewhere in there. Yeah.
Yeah, and again, that just goes to show, even with the, you know, it definitely call it minor success. If you can't live off that, definitely can't. Some people may, but it does show that it is a hard industry to thrive on, or even be full time on. And I'm just trying to be realistic here. I'm not holding anything back there. And that was never my intention. I love my job. And again, I am trying out different things along the way as well. But that was never my intention. I wanted to focus on the fun, and that fun was designing games. And that's why I was doing it so much. Coming up with fun engines, as we call them.
You know, I mean, you do something for fun, you start making money, and there's this hustle, and the hustle is a hassle, right? I mean, like, it really is, you know? I mean, after a while...
The hobby turns into a jobby.
Yeah. Nice. Well done. That was good. That was good.
But like I said earlier, if you want to leave me a message, reach out. Be more than happy to respond back. Thank you to everybody that has been very supportive of my journey so far. I really appreciate it. There's a lot of great people from the community that I don't want to start naming people because I'm going to miss people. But thank you. Really, thank you. And I'm, again, looking forward to seeing you in the future and hopefully play some more of your games, either in design stage or publish stage.
So Julio's basically like, I'll see you when I see you. That's the thing.
Yeah. And again, we'll talk and give updates as things go, but it's important to note this change in chapter.
It is, you know, and I just want to say again, I mean, first of all, I think that, you being less in the industry, hurts the industry more than it hurts you. Because I think you're doing the right thing. But I think you're a positive influence out here. And I think that's really important. Cause we need that, you know? And I think you broke some molds on some things in ways that made people think differently in cool ways. And it's a bummer not seeing you, not being able to see you as much at conventions and stuff. Though, I mean, to be fair, you had already peeled back quite a bit on some stuff.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I had.
Yeah. So.
Yeah. Thank you, Jason. I really appreciate that. It definitely didn't think I was going to get this emotional, but thank you.
Yeah. Hey, it's tough. I mean, like you said, you're not leaving, but yeah, I mean, I get it. It's tough. So, but you are always welcome here. Like, you know, Julio said, he'll continue to be a co-host until he decides either to design more games or not want to talk about games anymore. Well, if he decides to design more games, then he's stuck being a co-host forever. But, I told him he's welcome as long as he wants to be here. Because we like having you. And you always have interesting stuff to say, and I appreciate that. And I appreciate your willingness to be so transparent about things too. That is super duper helpful.
Well, as a last thing, I gotta give a shout out. One of my new games coming out will be from Third World Studios, and I'm extremely excited about that game. It will be a very great callback to my original designs on the physical design side.
Nice. That's awesome. I'm glad to hear that. That'll be good. I'm excited to check it out when it gets out. So, yeah. Well, unless you have something you really want to pitch, I think we're going to leave it here.
I think I'm good.
Okay.
Again, like I said, right. I'm good. Let's, and I'm happy about that. I don't have a game to pitch. I'm okay with that.
Well, what is, what's the best way people can reach out to you? You said that, people could reach out to you. So what is the, What is your preferred method that they do that? I'm not going to say the Discord because you are not great on the Discord, to be honest.
I am not. I'm the worst.
No, you're not the worst, but you definitely are on there less than most people. So,
well, you can reach me on my email, JulioNazarioGames@gmail.com. I'm not even on Twitter much anymore. It's I guess what it was called.
Yeah.
So that's just how it is as well. So yeah, reach out on my email and we'll definitely have a chat.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, listeners, if you want to get in touch with the show, or if you can't remember his email and you want to reach out, I'll send it to you. You can reach out to buildinggamepodcast.com. You can find a link to our Discord there, or you can email us to buildinggamepodcast@gmail.com. And of course, you can keep coming back every single week. But until next time, good night.
Buenas noches y hasta pronto.
Building the game with Jason and friends, with Jason and friends. Building the game with Jason and friends, with Jason and friends. The end of the episode, that's
when it technically ends.